It's a joy to have our summer interns, and Silvra is a unique intern in a few regards. We were talking earlier, Silvra is the first intern to my knowledge that is almost the age of your lead pastor. He is 50, I'm 51, and he's also from Haiti. And he has come to the United States for training to pastor a church in his hometown of Haiti. Not too long ago, he actually moved his family, his wife, his beautiful wife, and his two children to a safer location. They were in Port-au-Prince, and now they're living in a safer place. One of the neat things about Silvra is he shepherds his family even while he's away from them. We've talked about this before, too, and there are certain sacrifices we make to be in ministry, but I know very few people who have been away from their family for the amount of time that Silvra has been so that he can be trained and ready for gospel ministry. Silvra calls his family each evening, so if he's at your house and he dismisses himself for a little while, you understand. He FaceTimes his family, his children and his wife, and he visits with them, and they have family worship together each evening over FaceTime or whatever the technology is that you use. Silvra also speaks quite a few languages. He speaks English very well. You'll notice in just a moment he has a pretty good accent that you'll have, as Pastor John said, to listen well to. He speaks French. He speaks Haitian Creole. And we found when we go to Mexican restaurants that he's learning Spanish. And he makes the waitress seem to try to stay on their game when he speaks Spanish to them. So a man of many talents. But I just found out after the first service, because I said, Silva, that was a real blessing. And I really appreciated the message. And he said, that was the first message I've ever preached in English. So we're really thankful. The Lord really used you in the first service. I know he's going to in this second service. So Silva, come and please bring the word to us.
Thank you, Pastor Fuller. Thank you, the elders and the other pastors. Thank you, the whole congregation. Welcome me here. And I noticed even here in America, there is a battle or a war of pronunciation. About the book we are having our sermon this morning, but till I return back to my abacu, let's keep your Bible open in the book of Habakkuk chapter 1. But very soon I'm going to be back in my abacu. Hey, Pastor Fuller has already read the whole chapter. Let me read verses 1 through 4, or I would say 5 and 12 and 13. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as a judgment, and you who walk have established them for reproof. Verse 13. You who are of pure eyes, then to see evil, and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallowed up the man more righteous than he? Pastor Fuller has also introduced the book, but I'm trying to add some layer to his introduction. So I am not, or I won't ask you to raise your hand, but imagine how surprising would it be to watch a TV show where the bad guy wins at the end. This is exactly how Habakkuk fails, because evil seems to triumph while God appears silent. Unlike other prophets who speak God's message to people, Habakkuk opens with deep questions to God about sin, injustice, violence that burden his heart. He cries for help, but God's unexpected answer reveals that his judgment is coming not in Habakkuk's way, not in Habakkuk's timing, but in his sovereign plan. And if God is sovereign, and yes, he is, I think, what should be your answer to his plan? I believe, or I hope, your answer would be yes. So, if God is sovereign and your answer is yes to him, let me give you some relevant reasons why you should trust God in every circumstance. First, trust God because he sees the whole picture even when you don't. Trust God because he sees the whole picture even when you don't. Let's look at verse 2 again. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry for violence and you will not save? Keep in mind the two words. I cry for help, you will not hear, hear and save. In Habakkuk's mind, it looks like he's questioning God's divinity. Like he's saying, God, you are the living God, I know. You are the true God. Why do you behave like false gods, like idols? You may want to know why I say that or where I find that in the Bible. If you do not mind, turn your Bible in Psalm 115 and we will look at verses 4 through 8. This is the word of the psalmist that urges the children of Israel to put their trust in God, because God is not like the gods of the heathen. Verse 4. The idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouth but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nose but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in the throat. You see the two words that I ask you to pay attention to: hear and save. This is the way of the other gods, the false gods, the idols. They cannot hear, they cannot save. But can the living God be really idol? No. God has a delay, may have delays, and his delays is purposeful. A child, he keeps calling his parent in another room, but there is no answer. Eventually, he may wonder if the parent is even there. Sometimes, God delays responding, but not because he doesn't care. God's delay is purposeful. The purpose of God's delay is to reprove sin. The purpose of God's delay is to bring back his people to him. Habakkuk feels also frustrated because God doesn't take any action as he cries for help. In our society, we say that time is short, so no time to waste. But with our God, it is not so, because our God is eternal. All his ways are perfect. He does everything for a purpose, and a good purpose. God's compassion is greater than your righteousness. Verse 3. Let me read verse 3. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do I only look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. Habakkuk cannot believe that the holy God is looking at injustice. He cannot believe that God suffers the wicked, oppress the righteous one. Think, for example, of a referee who never calls fouls during a game. The bad players seem to win, right? Evil may look like it's winning, but God, the sovereign God, is still on the throne. God also takes sin seriously. Let us read verse 4. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. In this verse, Habakkuk may think that the people of Judea are the only one who are just in the sight of God. They are the law keeper, and maybe they are holy in God's sight, but it is not so. Everybody is sinner, and God is never complacent with sin. In other words, Habakkuk tells God, the law becomes powerless. The rules of the law are nullified, and your people are seeing reproach. Think of a broken traffic light at a busy intersection. What is the outcome? Chaos and accidents everywhere. God's justice may look delayed, but it's never denied. This is why I say that God takes sin seriously. In his due time, he will repay injustice or sin. So you can bring your honest questions to God. Faith doesn't mean pretending everything is fine, but it means trusting him even when it's not. You can safely cry out to God and be vulnerable in his presence, because our God, the living God, will never take advantage of your vulnerability. Another reason that I urge you to trust God in every circumstance is because God hears and cares when his people cry out to him. We can consider verses 5 through 11, but I'm not going to read it. You can read it when you get back home. But not here, I'm not going to read it. Through these verses, Habakkuk was impatient to have a response from God. But as I said, God has his own timing. He came finally, and he calls Habakkuk to be ready, to prepare, to receive his answer. What is his answer? First, he calls Habakkuk to be ready by using the following words: wonder and be astounded. What this word may mean? Wonder. It is wonder is marvel at God's glorious work, and be astounded, be amazed at God's mighty acts. This is how God calls Habakkuk to prepare for his answer. A farmer plants seeds for weeks. It looks like nothing is happening until one day green shoots breaks through. Just because you don't see God working doesn't mean that he is not. God is working even if you don't understand. But why does God call Habakkuk to be ready? Because he is doing something strange, something that cannot be understood in human understanding. He says, I am raising up an evil nation, the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans will accomplish my purpose, even in your days. This is the answer of God to Habakkuk. What are the Chaldeans lack? They are swifter than leopards. They have no boundaries. They have no fear, no consideration for kingdoms. They are wicked people. They have the right of life and death over everyone. When you consider Habakkuk uses they take people captive like sand. That means they have every right over life and death. Surgery can be painful, but it often heals. The purpose hurts. I'm sorry. The process hurts, but the purpose heals. God may use difficult tools to bring about his holy outcomes. Even evil empires serve God's greater purpose without knowing it. So, what can you and I do, or should you and I do? We need to trust God, even when his ways don't make sense to you. His sovereignty means nothing is wasted. Third, I encourage you to trust God because he never loses control. You and I may see no far than where our eyes can see, but God can see everywhere. He knows everything. This is why he calls Habakkuk to get ready, and even though he tells Habakkuk what is going to be to happen, but Habakkuk doesn't believe that. Why doesn't Habakkuk believe what God tells him that is going to happen? Because of his knowledge about God. Verse 12. Let me read verse 12 again. Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallowed up the men more righteous than he? Habakkuk has a perfect knowledge about God. God is holy. God is pure. God is just. God is the rock. He cannot be moved by any power. He is the rock. This is why Habakkuk was amazed before the work of God. And another reason that Habakkuk cannot believe the work of God, because of his knowledge of the Chaldeans. We have already seen what are the Chaldeans like. From verse 5 to 11. But God is the work, as we said. Habakkuk has a confidence in God, like a sailor who trusts in a lighthouse to guide them to safety. Habakkuk has trust in God the same way. And as for you, you should have the same mind as Habakkuk. When everything changes around you, God doesn't change. God stays the same God today, yesterday, and eternally. Again, I said that Habakkuk, because of his knowledge of the Chaldeans, he cannot believe God's work, because the Chaldeans are ruthless, they are traitors, they are wicked, they are guilty men, they are idolaters. This doesn't make sense to Habakkuk. A good parent disciplines his child not to harm, but to teach and to protect. God's discipline may seem painful, but it is always for your good. So, we need to trust God at last, like Habakkuk does. Because Habakkuk realizes that God has the power over the whole creation, he uses how do I see that? Habakkuk uses imagery like God make men like fish. If fishermen pick up some fishes in the ocean, most of the time he has no account to give to anybody. This is the view of Habakkuk about the judgment of God through the Chaldeans. He uses also a squalling things. This is a similar word, like fish, like other birds or animals. And he noticed that these things have no ruler. The Chaldeans are like predators to people of Judea, but even though that they act under the control of the mighty hands of God. Because of that, Habakkuk finally surrenders to God, even if he doesn't understand the plan, because he realized that God can use his supernatural power to keep everything under his control. Only God can do that. No one else. This is why even Habakkuk doesn't understand God's plan. Even it doesn't make any sense to Habakkuk, he surrenders to God as the super powerful one. A climber on a mountain holds tightly to a rope even when the wind blows and visibility fades. Faith doesn't mean you always understand, but it means you don't let go of God. I don't know what you are going through right now, what scenes you have great attraction for. But there is one thing you can do. When your heart is overwhelmed, preach to yourself who God is. God is everlasting. We will live for eternity. But have you ever asked yourself this question? Who made eternity? God is the Father of eternity. He holds everything is in his hand, and he knows everything. God is holy. Every purpose is good, is holy. Whatever he does is right, even though it seems sin in our eyes. God is faithful. Whatever he says, he is faithful. He is able to bring it to pass. He is the work. He can never be changed. What you call, he is immutable. That truth will steady you. Like Habakkuk, we live in a world full of pain, full of injustice, and full of confusion. But the message of this chapter is clear. God sees, God is at work, and God is sovereign. So what should you do? Trust him in every circumstance, especially when life doesn't make sense. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We pray that you would help us to live out your word, to trust in you, even in the worst moments in our life, because you are our creator, you are our father. We pray that you would continue to feed us with the living bread and help us to walk with you in a sanctification that you desire until the coming of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.